Hear that? That's the sound of my just got a payment worth 3 months of payroll face, also known as my pay face. It happens when I can accept credit and debit cards, bank transfer, and mobile pay with Intuit QuickBooks. That's payments made easy. Wait, I thought this ad was over. Oh no, here comes my holding it a squeal in front of a customer face. And my, whoa, getting paid twice as fast face. Thanks for that, QuickBooks.
QuickBooks payments account subject to eligibility. Twice as fast based on customer use comparison from August 2019 to July 2020.
Hey, Lori, I'm excited. It's season 2 of Dear Therapist, and we can't wait to share these all new sessions with you.
In season 2, we're going deep on issues like narcissistic exes, mother-daughter issues,
Instagram cheating, shopping addiction.
So here's our advice to you right now. Subscribe to Dear Therapist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a single episode.
We'll see you in session.
Welcome to this very special episode of Bear in a Banjo. This is the making of the podcast podcast. This is a conversation with my collaborators, Dennis Quaid, who you all know from his amazing film, TV, and music career, as well as my music collaborator, Pooh Bear. And in case you don't know him, he's worked on some of the biggest songs of all time, including all the songs off Justin Bieber's Purpose, Where Are You Now, What Do You Mean? His Despacito remix was a global smash. His 10,000 Hours is currently the top country song in the nation. And he worked with Ed Sheeran and Bieber on the last song that they did called I Don't Care. But more to the point, he created this amazing Americana music with me for this project. And I really wanted to bring people inside how we got from an extremely interesting but somewhat esoteric idea all the way from it just being a concept album to being what is Bear in a Banjo. We start the conversation in my Airstream with Dennis Quaid, and then we go across town to Black Star Studios, where Pooh Bear works out of, for us to complete the conversation and talk about the music piece. I hope you all enjoy, and we really, really appreciate the audience that is following us on this journey. Thank you so much, and here is our Behind the Podcast podcast on Bear in a Banjo.
You're right, I'm left, she's gone.
That's kind of how our actual friendship started, through music. That's a weird way into this podcast, but that is how we met.
How T-Bone's house
about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I get a call. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm drunk on my couch, and he goes, "Hey, anytime T-Bone goes to you, hey, do you want to meet somebody?" You always say yes, because you don't know who it's going to be. It's either going to be you,
that's true,
or Elvis Costello, or Elton John, or Nick Pizzolatto, but that's how we met. I came over and I was like, oh, I know who that is. That's Dennis Quaid. I'll let Zach set this up because that's an excellent way to set this up.
Yeah. And I do want to say who you were just hearing right there was Dennis Quaid on the guitar and vocals. Jingle Jared Gutstadt chiming in with the story, the T-Bone Burnett story, of course, who plays a big role in the podcast we're about to talk about. So let me just welcome you right now to a very special Beyond the Podcast of sorts. My name is Zach Selwyn, and I was very lucky to play multiple roles in this show, Bear and a Banjo, which is a hit musical podcast, I believe you can call it at this point. It is climbing the charts, and I'm lucky to be joined right now by lead actor Dennis Quaid, one of the stars of the show.
As an executive producer, as well as the creator.
I think you are. You're an executive.
That's
one of them. You have a lot on this. As is Jared Gutstadt, who's also here with me, who's the creator, musical man. You're a musical man. That's one of your things. Musical man. Musical director, I would say, with Pooh Bear, your partner, who we're also going to be talking to.
And very magical man, actually, because Bear and Banjo would not exist if it were not for Jingle Jared.
It's been the craziest experience of my life, but I mean, meeting all the people surrounding this thing is has led to us doing something just totally different in the world of storytelling, and I guess that's what we're doing today. We're telling people a little bit about this very complicated story of music, storytelling, history, facts, made up facts, and the rest of it, you know.
Well, we're just making it up as we go along. This is a podcast. I had never listened to a podcast myself, being 65 years old.
Sure.
But podcasts are really growing. But we met Jared and I over at T-Bone's house. He wanted to get us together because he thought there was something there and had to do with music. And he was doing this podcast with Bone and Dylan
actually
and
started
Pooh Bear.
The record before even that. Like when we met, it was just a record. And
you had just finished the record,
yeah,
right?
And
is
time
that true?
Is so strange because we met and then a year to the day, we were on the phone and I said, hey, do you want to fly with me to Las Vegas? Because two things had happened. I'd finished the record, didn't know what to do with it. And then there were these 8 songs that Pooh Bear and I did with T-Bone and one song that we collaborated with Dylan. And
how'd
you get the idea to release a record as a podcast,
so
which is a first?
I was sitting on my couch a year after we met. It was one Christmas. Then the next year, I'm sitting here and Buster Scruggs is on TV and I get a text from someone who works in my company and they go, hey, one of our biggest clients, iHeart, just bought a podcast network. And as I'm having my second martini, I go, oh shit, I wrote a podcast musical. I call you and I'm like, what are you doing in January? We're going to Vegas. And you're like, for what? I was like, we're going to pitch a podcast.
Yeah, I remember I was on the 405 when you actually called me.
Now,
about
when you
that.
First hear that, are you going, what? First of all, what the hell is a podcast? Secondly,
well, between the time I had met him and then, I kind of knew what they were.
Okay.
But the closest I came was what I used to hear on the radio out here, which were old radio plays replayed on KNX 1070. And, they're fun to listen to.
That's
but I also thought podcasts maybe were just interviews with people, or they were sort of just a way for people who had blogs to just get on and just talk about themselves or whatever they were interested in.
Like what
endlessly.
We're doing here right now.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, and you sort of touched on it a second ago, is that this is a one-of-a-kind show. I mean, people are saying in the press everywhere you read that this is the world's first musical, dramatic, fictional podcast.
Yes.
Which is cool. You've created your own sort of niche here, which is...
Using a podcast to release and promote a record.
Yeah.
What a great idea. I mean, what I did think of when... we were forming this idea was Redheaded Stranger, Willie Nelson's album, which has a continuous theme through it. And you know, that was back in the days when we all would read the liner notes and we'd hold that record, you know, the vinyl and usually a sleeve inside and read all about it, who had done it. And sometimes it was like a podcast on print, the way they would come up thematically to release on the sleeve of the record, you know, to put one on you. Case in point, the Beatles, I Buried Paul.
But right, I would live in the music. Like, I listened to Tommy this morning, and if Tommy was out now because of the way the record business is, it would be, because I guess people gave the audience a little bit more credit with the music back in the day, where the music would speak for itself and you'd sort of, you know, through the press, they'd say, oh, this is about, you know, a person and, you know, it's the pinball wizard and this person can't see and can't talk and can't hear.
Right.
But nowadays we're in a very noisy world where there's Netflix, there's Hulu, there's NBC, there's CBS, there's 5 Dennis Quaid movies a year. All of them crushing at the box office.
Six. And a TV show.
Yeah. And
at least that's the hype.
When we got into the podcast conversation, I looked at everything that was out there and I saw, you know, I love, and this is a shout out to Malcolm Gladwell. I love what Malcolm Gladwell does. I love what NPR does. I love what New York Times, The Daily, and I'm probably promoting things that are off the iHeart Network by accident. But I said, the one thing that no one has done yet is used music in an audio format. So when you and I went to, this is the best thing, is that Dennis, everyone thinks, you know, Hollywood's a place where people call agents and managers, and it actually is a fairly big, it's actually a fairly accessible place if you just do it the right way. And I call him and I go, we're going to Vegas, we're going to pitch an idea. And Dennis, I was like, I want to do this with you. I don't want you to like be talented and I want to make it with you. And we went there, and he goes, we fly out.
Went to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and we have this
Went to Las Vegas.
And he's like, what's it about? I was like, let's just have
dinner. You were doing an iHeart event.
Yeah, we were out there for CES. Yeah. And he goes, do you know what it's about yet? I was like, well, it's sort of like Coen Brothers, and it's also like,
you know, Lomax, and it's and we
it,
we do
I, the, all I knew that it was a history of music, and you know when those guys spread out from New York with their mobile recording devices and recorded the Carter Family and you know Jimmy Rogers and all those people that were early part of radio because radio was new, and so I thought in my head that it was going to be about what if the Lomaxes in the recording machine had passed by the Carter Family farm, say 50 miles, and recorded someone else instead, and the Carters had missed it. What would music be like nowadays? Mm-hmm. It might be different.
Yeah.
And that, truthfully, by him saying that in the room, like, so...
That sold it right there.
Well, we go... The night before, we had this amazing, awesome dinner with all these executives, and everyone's like, oh, we're in town, we're pitching a podcast. It sounds like something that you say when you're in a media event. And then the next day, on the way up the elevator, I'm like, oh, shit, I don't actually know what
they're doing. You don't actually have a pitch.
And I'm killing time before Dennis gets there. And he gave me a chance to warm up the room to be like, it's going to be about 30 minutes each.
Oh, I was late.
And we have some music, and we play
Because I thought it was in the same hotel. Yeah. Turns out it wasn't. It was like in a hotel where I had to take a taxi and go across the freeway.
As we all know in Vegas, the
and then they let me off at the wrong entrance, and I couldn't find the place. And so by this time, in this hour meeting that he's got 8 minutes left, and he's been vamping the entire
There's
time.
A one beat of sweat.
He's like, you guys want to hear the Pawn Stars theme again?
Yeah. There's one beat of sweat forming on my forehead, and then Dennis walks in and goes, Dennis Quaid is here. Nice. And then everyone forgets the fact that we're in a pitch. They're all very excited.
I said Dennis Quaid is late.
Is late. Oh,
excuse
but they
me.
Loved
Dennis
you know,
Quaid is late.
We all love music, and at the end of the day, we knew that it was just to in caveman speak, we knew that it was about music.
Yes.
Foundationally, yeah. We knew that we wanted to do something like elevated liner notes, and Connell, God bless him, helped us.
Connell.
And then, yeah, from my heart, he goes, I get it. It's liner notes brought to life. It's an album, you have that.
It's redheaded.
Then you
stranger.
Have to write the thing, and yes. He goes, find me a writer. And then
Connell had a furrowed brow of interest.
Yes. And then we leave. My favorite part is Dennis's flight is like, Vegas is weird. Everyone gets their flight with 1 minute left. But Dennis is like, oh, shit, what time is it? I'm like, it's 1:30. He goes, my flight's at 2.
Yeah.
So we go down and he goes, your pitch was flimsy. I think they bought it, though.
And lo and behold.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare. And even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
This is Miami's own DJ EFN, co-host of the Drink Champs podcast on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Every week, Nori and I sit down with the most legendary artists, producers, and icons in the music industry and the culture at large. So if you like to hear some legendary stories, learn some hip-hop history, or just want to have a good laugh, make sure you go to subscribe to Drink Champs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But
well, here's a question for you just about the podcast in general. You mentioned people who are now expecting to hear, if you haven't listened to Bear and Banjo, download it now, listen to the entire season, whatever's available, just get caught up here, people.
But it turns out that the question actually was kind of the story.
It was.
That was it. But if people are looking to listen to a typical musical episode, like, you know, what you might see on, you know, Broadway or in a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, that's not what you're going to get here. It's like the music is more of like an Easter egg to the actual story, the story being about the music.
We're trying to secretly teach people about musical history. It's weird because as dumb as I am, I do love long form entertainment and learning about secret history. So Ken Burns' doc, which wasn't even out at the time that we started,
right.
This is almost like when you look at one of those Ken Burns photos and you keep pulling back and all of a sudden Baron Banjo are there.
Yeah.
Like, who are those guys? Yeah,
like Zelig. Why are those two guys there?
Like in Zelig right. with
Forrest
Woody
Gump.
Allen. Yeah.
And we sort of had a hunch, and then the strangest thing happened, which we go to South by Southwest and Connell, who's really, really smart, and Gail, who's really, really smart, goes, why don't you and Dennis and Pooh Bear come to South by, open for Tim McGraw, talk about it again the way you did in the room with Dennis talking, Pooh and I play a few songs, and it was like this P.T. Barnum moment where it felt like we were Baron Banjo.
Yes, and well, you were Baron Banjo, and he's got this like
the jacket,
he's got
the whole
this
suit.
Jacket suit. Oh, I mean the Toreador outfit. It's from head to toe in purple. And
I pre-spent the money.
Yeah,
well, and, you guys have a budget.
Zach's
in it. I've never known what it is. I figure
out.
What is the point where we can go just hit the stopwatch and go, okay, that's it. Money is stopped spending.
But the craziest thing about that all, like just thinking about how surreal it was at that moment at South By, we opened for Tim McGraw, who's one of the biggest country stars in the world. And even Tim afterwards was like, what was that?
What
like,
was that?
Wow, cool.
What is that?
We'll let you know.
We don't know.
Right.
And Pooh Bear is so humble. He shows, and I love the moment before we go on stage because everyone's so cool. You know, Dennis is like, lives in the moment. So it's always 10 minutes before we go on stage where I'm starting to like actually feel the nerves that he's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
You know, it's like, remind me, what is this? And I say, Dennis, we're pitching again, but this time to brands. And Pooh Bear then goes with me, which project, what are we doing here? It doesn't really give me a chance to really get nervous about things because then it really is like a circus. We've run this thing like a media circus. Like,
it's a new form. It's a new art form, I think.
Is there an ultimate goal for the podcast as a show? Is it a television thing? Is it a tour? What do you guys
Well,
sort
I think
of
it
foresee?
Should be. I think it should be unto itself. And from that can come things. I think, like television shows, if the story is of enough interest and has an audience, so many movies that are made into TV series.
Here's one for
Why
you.
Why not a podcast made into it?
And
hey, guess what became a movie? Redheaded Stranger.
Yeah.
And you know? So did Tommy. I think they had a weird
Tommy
one.
Was
yeah,
a film.
I did.
Sure, yeah.
Sergeant Pepper's had a really bad
with Jack
one.
Jack Nicholson with, singing.
Right. Yes. And Elton John did a kick-ass version of Pinball Wizard.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite version.
Yeah. Diddle, 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 diddle. No kidding. That was
but, Encino Man was a Who album. Am I wrong?
Weeds in the juice.
Who wrote me these notes? I'm sorry.
But
the Encino Man reference.
I love it how we've gotten and we
got
every episode. I feel like we should go from Pauly Shore to the Bob Dylan of it all.
I would love to talk about my man Bob Dylan.
Segue, because the funny thing is that to me, like we always gloss, we even glossed over this at South By it. Every now and then someone's like, oh yeah, and Bob Dylan's involved.
I would like to talk about that as well. I've known Jared about almost 10 years now, I think. And for Bob Dylan's been, you know, him, your two heroes, him and Weird Al, which is a bizarre but beautiful thing
and
about
Paul McCartney.
Then of course, Paul McCartney.
In Branson, Missouri, by the way.
Oh yeah,
and they all are. It's a good theater town.
Okay,
you know, I just want to know. I guess first of all, you got to work with your hero. How did that come about? And can you just sort of break down what the song is that he like, wrote as fast as you can?
How much time do we have?
Because right,
it is, Dennis right. and I had this amazing philosophical conversation last week, and I'm not going to get too deep into it, but. All I will say is that, and I'll give you my philosophical answer, then I'll give you my literal one, is Dylan lives in service of the universe. He's not actually, you know, there's people who've played in bands with him. There's T-Bone, who's, you know, produced our music. And you can work with this person. You may never meet him. You may never talk to him. You may never, and you're like, is it shtick? Is this some sort of idea to like psych people out? And I think in the Rolling Thunder review, one of the guitarists was interviewed and they're like, what was it like, you know, for the time you were with him? He's like, I never met him. Like,
wow.
Well, all of that has been true for Dylan throughout his career. The mystique of that he brings with things.
It's a full commitment to your life in service of the universe, because there are people that are mysterious that exist in different time scapes than you, where they can disappear for 10 years, show up for 5, disappear for 10 again. Like in a weird way, every now and then, I always say this, even with Pooh Bear, sometimes there's like in a lifetime, there's a few artists that are the beacon of all ideas of the universe, whether it was the Beatles, Dylan, and you can laugh, but Pooh Bear with Bieber. Bieber is the only artist in the world that has like billions of streams off multiple songs. You don't need to like his music, but clearly billions of people do. And
what he's done.
And your life looks different because of how many people digest what you're doing. And Dylan has been doing that now for, holy shit, since the, what was it, the early 60s?
Yeah, since what, 61, 2, 3.
And we just saw him last weekend killing it on stage at 78.
Yeah.
And
that was something.
But the weird thing was, it was like dealing with some secret organization. Like, I don't want to say too much because I just don't want to, like, his whole thing is obfuscation, so... Hey, T-Bone, I want to, in this project, it would be really cool if we took a basement tape song and Pooh Bear, the biggest top line writer of our time, and I, the biggest jingle guy, writer, whatever, I had to throw myself in the history. But I just, you got to ask or you don't get. So T-Bone goes, hey, man, that's cool. I'll ask. Nothing for a year.
Right.
A year later, hey, man, what happened with the Dylan thing? A year later. I'm in Nashville. I'm at a bar, and I meet this guy, John Ingrassa. Oh, who are you? I'm Jingle Jared. Oh, yeah, I've heard you're working with T-Bone. He's my client. And he goes, what's going on with that project? I was like, well, we're going to wrap it up soon, but I've been trying to get to this like Dylan lyric thing where we do like a basement tape thing. And he goes, oh, yeah, I used to work over at Sony. Let me see if I can talk to his manager. Through some bizarre back channeling, I'm at my cottage in Canada. And I get a phone call from him and Dylan's manager, and they go, we Googled Jingle Punks. We think it's really interesting, but we have questions about Pooh Bear.
Of course,
who's this Pooh Bear guy? Pooh Bear, the most established writer in the world. They go, what do you mean, and where are you now? And
why do they have billions of streams?
Yeah, and I said, Pooh Bear writes songs that are questions. What do you mean? Where are you now? That's his thing. And they go, and he goes, okay, we'll call you back. They apparently speak to Bob Dylan, who had, by the way, no problem with Jingle Punks or Jingle
Jared.
But
Pooh Bear was his questionable source.
And then they call back and they go, he's going to send you an email right now. I get the lyrics, and a week later, and Pooh Bear should tell the story, because Pooh Bear is unmoved by a lot of things just because he's, you know, like you, he's seen it, he's done. I am the tourist in this whole project. I've never been in a blockbuster movie. I've never been had a hit song. I've created a jingle company. And when that thing sort of came into focus, I put the lyric sheet on Pooh Bear's desk right in front of him. He goes, oh, Bob Dylan wrote this? I was like, yeah. He goes, cool. 20 minutes later, the song's done. I was like, that's it. He goes, yeah, we're done. And then I had to send it back to T-Bone, who had to send it back there. And then they're like, this is great. Produce it.
Now, what's the song called?
That one is Gone But Not Forgotten. And that is going to be the final episode of the season.
Gone But Not Forgotten.
And that script is a badass script with Tom Piazza wrote it for Dennis and a leading lady, and you did that with
Rosanna Arquette.
Am I in that one?
No.
God damn it. That's all right. I still technically work with Dylan. there's a book component coming out to Baron a Banjo. Jared, is that something that
I keep surprising Dennis?
Yeah,
yes.
Once again,
bro,
once
you had
again.
No idea. Yeah, yeah. Here
How
we
does
go.
This work?
So this is I'm all in on the audio universe. Here's what I want to do. I want you and I to have a concept, and I want to write it like this, and then I want to transcribe the book based on a multiple hour conversation. I have an idea of where it goes after season one. And, you know, Baron Banjo could show up anywhere. They could show up in Seattle at the dawn of grunge. They could show up in Japan.
Show up at Studio 54.
They could show up at Studio 54. Yeah. And that, I'd love to write some new stories with you about that, because I feel like every press thing we've done so far, people are just strangely comparing it also to Quantum Leap, where they just, like, jump from time to time without explaining it.
Now that we've proved that they actually existed, now we can
tell
really
some more
tell
reggae, 77 in Jamaica.
Yes.
N.W.A.
Haight Ashbury, N.W.A., anything.
Right, Montego Bayman.
But it's a great way to educate people, I think, about music. I love music history, and I look forward to the day that Ken Burns does the 19-hour documentary on mumble rap. <That'll> be... We're getting there, right? We're going to get there.
Juice WRLD was a talented young man. So a lot to look forward to in the Baron Banjo universe. Great.
You got to try this. What are we drinking here, by the way? I'm having Japanese whiskey.
I was having a glass of red wine, but Dennis brought us this little something from Nashville, is it?
That's actually shine.
We're drinking moonshine, people. Out of the jar here.
Oh, my Lord.
The Golden Mason Harvest, jar. A Mason jar. I mean, this is the real shit. Excuse me. This is the real stuff right here. The real shine.
It's definitely sipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It warms the whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Can I ask you a question, Dennis? I know you have a vast musical background. Growing up watching you, you know, playing the killer, incredible performance. You play in a band, The Sharks.
Yes.
And you've been around music. I mean, you were strumming earlier. How did your musicianship help you, like, kind of, I guess T-Bone introduced you guys because you guys have a mutual love mm-hmm. for certain types of music, but for his, Dr. Q's character, was there like a little bit about your past or your love of this music that really attracted you to the character?
Well, I grew up in Texas, in Houston, which is very much Texas and kind of also Western Louisiana. Right. In a while, there's a kind of a real gumbo of music that you down there. And my dad was also really into Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. And so I had a very kind of wide musical range growing up that was in my house or on the radio. And music has always been a part of my life. But acting came along, and that was the path that opened up to me. But music has always been a part of even my acting career. Anyway, I've sold songs to movies. Mm-hmm. I was done musical movies. And
I mean,
just have fun with it. It's, you know, it's something that burns in me.
Great Balls of Fire, the footage that you showed me with you and Cowboy Jack Clement and like getting taught by Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, that's one of
those.
That's
one of those lucky life experiences.
I mean, I'd love to get guitar
Jerry
lessons.
Lewis be your piano teacher.
I was going to say, I'd love for Elvis to teach me guitar or Johnny Cash. Right. That'd be fun.
It's like a master class online now.
It's sort of he glosses Charlie over the Chocolate Factory moment.
Yeah. Dude, you've had the most fascinating existence. You know, the people you've met. And sometimes you're, again, with Dr. Q and you in real life, that's kind of the inspiration for it. You tell me things and I pretend and I nod and I go, oh, I know about that. And then I go home and I Google it because I don't want to seem like I don't know what I'm talking about. And then I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that Cowboy Jack Clement did this. And I didn't know that the Carter Cash family. Oh, I didn't know that, you know, Tanya Tucker. I didn't know any of these things. And or Jerry Lee, your connection to American music is so deep. The fact that like Loretta Lynn this year at the Ryman when they did that big tribute, you were up there with American history.
Well, that was like one of those Zelig moments because, you know, I didn't belong there. They just motioned for me to come over. Next thing you know, I'm sitting next to Loretta Lynn.
But you live across both worlds.
Oh, God, I was just adored all my life and idolized. And, you know, just it's the lucky life.
Love it.
They say what's
like
the secret.
But I never played piano when I got to Great Balls of Fire. I didn't play piano. I played guitar. But I had a year to learn it. And
your
I sat at a piano for 12
hours
a day
learning.
And Jerry Lee was one of my teachers. He would like really slow down the licks. And then also just being around him a lot.
Wow.
You know, and I just worked on the left hand. That's all it is. It's an athletic move.
Dennis's passion for not only music but also the intensity of anything he's into at the moment, him committing to it 100%. He would reset by playing a bunch of these songs on the piano, and I would be like, "Oh, Dennis is here!" And I was thinking to myself, "Man, I worked a 6-hour day.
I'm exhausted.
And I'm exhausted. I'm like, I'm Brentwood tired.
Brentwood tired.
That's a TV show.
Brentwood tired.
And I was like, I bet you. And I thought to myself before I knew him well, I was like, I bet you he'll read and he'll just be like, we're done. But he, like every take, he would read it and then he would do. I always know when you're ready to really do it because you'll read it. You'll read it again and you'll be like, all right. We're going back.
Yeah, now we're going back.
And that's the cool thing about podcasting is that, look, it's not supposed to be an actor format. It's really supposed to be a talk format, but you also don't have to do a ton of the prep as an actor because in the room you're adapting. And the coolest thing was the final episode with Rosanna, that live two-person read.
Yeah, and it's also people don't see you. It's radio. So you create a character through your voice. And it feels very improvisational as you're going along. And the audience uses its imagination, which is...
That is the beauty of podcasts.
You create
a visual, a soundscape through the music and the words, and then you have a visual that you're driving around wherever you listen to your podcast, on the train, across, you know, if you're in New York or whatever. Suddenly you're transported to that.
Yeah,
that world.
And creating stories.
Been the most, to me, the most exciting project I've ever been part of. And just so everyone has some context for my 6-hour Brentwood day, I actually woke up in San Francisco this morning because I was meeting with our label, Empire, who's putting out the soundtrack. We came back here, did this with Dennis, and now we're going to go talk to Pooh Bear about the music down in Studio City. But this is amazing, Dennis. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for
opening
up.
This has been a great ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really great ride.
So look for Bear and Banjo the Lunchbox, Bear and Banjo the Musical, Bear and Banjo the Prophylactic. What else are we doing?
The Flamethrower.
Well, I've got my Bear and Banjo keychain right here.
There we go.
Yeah.
You guys got keychains?
It's got one of those zip ties that, you know, comes
like a
out.
Janitor keychain.
Yeah, I can never lose this thing.
Thank you, Dennis.
Introducing Mordeo, a new iHeartRadio fiction thriller podcast from the creative minds of Blumhouse and Crypt TV. 1 month after two brothers disappear in the Shenandoah Forest, the lone survivor of the pair emerges, starving, disoriented, and traumatized.
I can hear it.
What are you talking about?
It's in my head. It whispers to me. It says I'm gonna die out here.
What happened out there in the woods? And what dark secrets still remain, threatening to create something unspeakable?
Look at this skull. No way this thing is a deer, though. Look at the size of the teeth. Predator for sure.
Beware. The monster you're running from might be yourself.
This is what I am. This is what I've become.
Listen to Mordeo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ethan Nadelman, host of the new podcast Psychoactive. I founded the Drug Policy Alliance, which has been at the forefront of the effort to legalize marijuana and end the broader war on drugs. But what's next? What's the future of drugs? On Psychoactive, I'll be talking with scientists and politicians, celebrities and activists about all things drugs.
Why do we have receptors in our brain that fit molecules made by poppy plants?
You know, I think ecstasy saved my marriage. Drugs are something I recommend to long-term couples.
We had to adopt this idea that there's this disease called alcoholism.
No matter how many drugs this particular person was selling, you shouldn't be able to kick someone's door down and then murder them.
Psychoactive is out now. Listen to Psychoactive on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to part two of the special behind the podcast of Bear and a Banjo. I'm Zach Selwyn. I am now in a studio owned by Pooh Bear.
Black Star.
Thank you, Black Star. It's my second time here. The first time you didn't notice. I just kind of snuck in, but then I left. I was kicked out, really.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, my friend. Jingle Jared's with me as well. You guys are the musical forces behind the Bear and Banjo podcast, which is doing exceptionally well right now. You guys are ahead of Fish, the White Stripes. You're hanging around with Dolly Parton. I mean, you guys are in that echelon of musical podcasts.
Not bad for a fake band.
Not bad for a fake band. And I want to start with you, Pooh Bear. How'd you guys first meet, you and Jared?
Oh, man. I met Jared at a bar. Mr. Nice Guy. And strange enough, it was alcohol involved, and
sure.
Actually, it seemed as though Justin Bieber kind of introduced us, and it was crazy because I really wanted to write jingles for television, you know. So we exchanged numbers, and unlike music industry people, we actually reached out to each other the next day, and I think we even.
The next day we got together.
We got together.
There was a project.
Yeah, it was a project. That's what really started it.
It really was crazy because, you know, to paraphrase what he was saying, I was hammered. And I met I don't know Bieber at all. He would know me. But I met him in that one moment, and I was like, oh, I'm the king of jingles. And he was like, I make music too. I was like, shh, 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 shh. But I'm the king of jingles. And he's like, you got to meet my friend Pooh Bear. He's the best writer in the world. And the next day, it was one of those things where back in my drinking days, not like the way I am now, but when I would stay out till like 5 in the morning, I Googled Pooh in the morning, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's like a real guy. Like, he really makes big, big songs.
No.
So we got together, and History Channel was in the middle of this thing for Roots, the miniseries, and Krista shows up at the office, meets Pooh Bear and I, and she, to this day, she goes, Jared, you were 0% chance getting to do the music for Roots, the miniseries, but I'd already done Pawn Stars and all these other things. She's like,
0%.
Zero. Like, there's no chance. And Pooh came by, and I was just like, oh, I really hope, you know, she digs Pooh. And it was magical because, you know, it's that weird moment between when someone says, we might do the job, and, hey, send us the music.
Yeah.
And I picked up a banjo instead of a guitar, and you were like, and I remember I did like the, Born This Way, dun, 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 and you, oh, do that. And yeah, then we got together the next day. I'm so naive and stupid because I didn't realize that now that I've worked with you a lot, I realize how frightening it is to be your engineer and all these other things. And we recorded this song at my desk, but it turned into one song, and then they loved it. And then I called you back, and I remember they said they want two, and they want to shoot a music video. And
that's when it got weird. And it was
so
like,
it started
da-da-da.
Off. Yeah. It started off with the Roots miniseries.
Yeah.
After you guys initially got together creatively. How long after that and the success of that did Bear and a Banjo come together and you guys collaborating on songs for what became a record and now a podcast?
I think things really started to go when around the time you were doing the Red Bull doc, because
yeah,
he put me into the storyline of all the, he was working with huge people like J Balvin and Robin and Bieber, and he shows up at my office one day with cameras, which is a very Jingle Jared thing to do, not a Pooh Bear thing to do,
because
I'm the guy that shows up with like 5 cameras. I was like, no big deal, it's like an Along Came Polly, we're doing the behind the music on Jingle Jared. But your thing was really real, and then a few months later, it's so strange since I've known Pooh Bear, because the most amazing things have happened. I show up a few months later at a premiere, and there's a real movie that I'm really in alongside some like real people.
Alongside some real people. That's so funny.
And I'm not usually in stuff like that. And then things started to really fast forward, and we did Steven Tyler, G-Eazy for UFC. And then we almost became like a fake band business.
Well, that's what we were doing. We were this fake band, like how people have fantasy football league.
Yeah.
We had a fantasy band. And it's like, for me, like, I always wanted to be able to sing music, you know, in this lane, in the Americana genre. And it was like, wow, here's my chance to really be able to escape my everyday norm. And it really turned into us doing songs for these artists. We were, like, basically just doing records, fake songs for Baron and Banjo. That was like this sound, and we were able to, you know, place those songs on, you know, for those big campaigns. And in doing so, we were creating this sound for ourselves, this fake sound, and it just turned into an actual album, because we kind of were like, yo, let's just make a song every Saturday.
And so we'd do like a real song, and then on the way out, I was like, hey, you want to say like 20 more minutes and like check out like
Bear the Banjo song,
and he would just sing on it. And then I felt like, I'm a music industry nerd. I like reading about Alan Lomax and, you know, the Bristol Sessions. And I met around the same time I met Pooh Bear, I met T-Bone in the same way that I met Pooh. I was just hammered at the Sunset Towers, and I said, oh, I love our brother out there, you're so cool, I wanted to be your brother. He goes, oh, if you ever anything that's interesting that's in the Americana space, send it my way. I sent him Born This Way, the first song we did, and he goes, you guys should do a full record. So I would just send him scraps of like a minute and a half of pure vocal awesomeness that Pooh would do on top of blues guitar. And, you know, I was like, is this enough to make a full song? Is this like, is it, you know, and he would just arrange it in a way where there was no additional vocals needed. We would take the Airstream vocals where we'd recorded my tin can where you were doing the bullet mic and the little, you know, singing through an amp.
I missed the bullet mic.
We're going to bring that back for the
tour. Yo, I don't want to do this. If we don't have the bullet mic back,
need to get a note to producers. Yeah. Let's get the bullet mic.
But the crazy thing was, so next thing you know, like everyone thought that I was lying to each side. Like T-Bone had never met Pooh Bear. Pooh Bear had never met T-Bone. None of you guys even like, and it was since 2000. I look at my phone, 2016. 17, yeah. 18, yeah. And then we get to 2000, the beginning of 19, and I go, well, we better figure out what to do with this album. And in and around mid, I think it was 18, we get the call that Bob Dylan is agreeing to give us some music that we can work with.
Yeah.
And I remember you coming to my office and plunking the sheet in front of you, and because, you know, much like Baron Banjo, there's like the very authentic Pooh Bear, and then there's the carnival, you know, P.T. Barnum, Jingle Jared, and I place these lyrics in front of him. He goes, Dylan wrote these?
I'm like, this could be from anybody. Anybody. Right? Yeah. You just type Bob Dylan's name.
You weren't 100% sure, were you?
Hell no, bro. Like, these words came from Bob Dylan.
How long did it take for you to get those lyrics and turn it into what the song became?
Oh, no, I don't know, 10 minutes?
20 minutes.
20, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And then I said, are we done? And he goes, he always, when he finishes the song, he goes, yeah, we're done. And I was like, are you certain? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, some people want to fuck with something 1,000 different ways, but when it's good, it doesn't take more than 15, 20 minutes.
No, yeah. It's the opposite in my world. Like, I'm working on something for a long time, it usually sucks.
Yeah.
So the faster we feel it and get it out there.
Out of all the songs in this podcast, how long do you guys think it took you to make the record in its entirety?
I mean, honestly, like, if time wasn't a factor, we would get together basically every Saturday and just write a song for 20 minutes.
That was it. But it was like a 4-year experience of 20-minute little things. Like, we didn't, and I am so paranoid because I always think things have to come out now. They have to come out now. And I sat with T-Bone, and I'm not a patient guy. Like, I went from Jingle Jared, like 2008, to building a business that we sold. So I'm used to things happening quick. And I remember being in a real mental funk about this whole thing, being like, when should I put it out? And T-Bone goes, oh, you could put it out in like next week. You could put it out in 4 years. You could put it out in 20 years. He's like, it's just good. Like, that's all that matters. It's just good. And I was like, but I really want it to come out. He goes, well, that's the worst way to think about it. You shouldn't really think about it being like coming out now. Just think about coming out when it's ready.
I got a question for Pooh Bear about music in general. You know, there's a timeless element to a lot of the stuff you guys are mentioning in the podcast. You know, you're working with Bob Dylan, you're working with T-Bone Burnett, you know, and in your history, you've worked with incredible artists. Would you say you find a difference in working in the Americana space versus working in the previous spaces you worked, as far as like longevity and the way music moves now versus the way it used to work back in the day?
I just feel like everything's different but the same. At the end of the day, the song has to be amazing. The hook has to be hooky, and it has to be simple and effective. And so for the different genres, it was just way more exciting doing, you know, Americana, just because it's something that, me coming from my culture and my race, you know, it's kind of like, as a kid, it was looked at as not being that cool, you know, to listen to that or be into that. So to be able to have that, and, you know, really in the 90s, sneaking and listening to Third Eye Blind and Oasis and Nirvana, and like just sneaking in, like hearing that stuff, it made me like, oh, I would love to do something like that. And then years and years later, our fantasy band, you know, I'm like, ah, I could do that shit right now, you know. And really, but at the same time, doing a fantasy band is still like, we're still sensitive, you know. We still don't want it to just be whatever, even though it's a fantasy band. It's still like our passion, you know, and our art.
And to be honest, a lot of the stories that ended up being part of the fantasy story, you know, that is our backstory, everything in the podcast, if you really know the weird things that Pooh Bear and I have done, we've shown up at Pro Bowl riding in MAGA country where like a Jewish guy from Toronto, Pooh Bear, shows up and he's like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yo, we need to get the hell out of here right now.
We went to France where we've been to the Marlins, like all these little things that are written into the story in the last episode, which I won't give away. Essentially, Pooh Bear's story from his documentary, like when I saw the Red Bull doc that the people who directed and produced it created about him, I didn't know anything about Pooh Bear's life except for the fact that he made amazing music. We had a lot of fun together and we hung out. And then when I saw that, I was so moved by some of the things that had actually happened in his life that got him to where he was, that like most people don't know much about people who work in music and what it takes to tell stories. But you are, you know, it's, you're at least 20 years into the business, more.
23.
And I didn't realize that you were writing songs. You know, had I known any of this stuff before we actually got together, I probably would have approached our first meeting with a bit more caution and come with a bit more with an engineer and maybe an idea.
No, but nobody cares.
But, you know, the fact that I've been able to do all this cool stuff with Pooh Bear and write it into the fiction of what we're doing, I think that's what people have reacted to, because you know, it's the first time I've ever done a podcast. I'm certain it's the first time you've ever done a podcast.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to come in at a level where there was some level of, you know, entertainment with the music, some level of education with, I love musical history and I overthink things, but Pooh Bear naturally understands the blues and folk music. Those things don't have to be explained to him. It's like I pick up a guitar and go, oh, you know, 1-3-5, and all of a sudden there's this complex melody over it. But I think that is why T-Bone reacted to it the way he has. I think that's the reason why Dylan got involved in this, and I think that's the reason why, you know, we're sitting next to Dolly Parton and the White Stripes and other very serious ideas right now.
Yeah.
If this keeps going on, which looks like it will, you got a season 2, a season 3. Tell me what you see happening next and what you, who you would like to collaborate with, like dream collaborators as far as like taking it down the line. If there's anybody.
I really feel like a cool thing would be able to work with people who, you know, the greats that aren't here anymore.
That's cool.
It's special to be able to hear what type of vocals we can get our hands on. You know, that haven't been heard, just some recordings.
Yeah, you're hearing a lot of stuff now come out. I mean, it happened when Pac and Biggie, when they passed away, like all of a sudden these other records were coming out remixed by artists of the day, kind of to fit the sound that was coming out at that time. Mm-hmm. Could be an interesting concept to take those same kind of songs that maybe might not have hit the public the way they wanted at the time and taking a fresh approach to them now, you know, like something like that. Be kind of
remix
cool.
Them. It'd be fun.
We're almost remixing culture because it's not even about the music. We're just in history inserting ourselves into Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Little Richard, Ronnie Hawkins, and just picking parts of history apart. And I, you know, when we were talking with Dennis Quaid today, the whole concept for me really made sense when I started watching this Ken Burns documentary about country music. And you'd see a photo of like 20 people and all of a sudden they keep pulling back. And there's two people there that aren't supposed to be there, that aren't from that time or that place. And that's what Baron Banjo are. They show up.
I've seen those pictures.
You know what I mean? Like,
I've seen
and
those
it's like
pictures.
An alien is like in the thing waving. Or
on
an iPhone
on a phone.
In the 1950s.
I've seen
like,
that. In the 20s.
But that girl walking to the movie.
On the
like,
phone.
Arc,
yeah.
On
I've
the,
seen that. Yeah.
That's kind of what the thing is. It's like we're there's a little bit of like
is that us?
Quantum leap.
That's
about
you guys,
it.
Yeah.
Baron Banjo, we quantum leaping.
And it's fun writing about it because you can nerd
right
out on history, but also lie to people about what actually happened in history.
I know we're kind of getting limited on time. I want to ask both of you guys, because Jared, you play the lead actor really in this besides Dennis Banjo. You have a big part of it. You're narrating it. You're guiding us through. Pooh Bear, your character is a little less involved. How did that come about? And were you comfortable or uncomfortable with like the acting part of the whole thing?
You know what? I was comfortable with it just because it's really not a real band. And so I just wasn't nervous. And just because I look at it like that, and that way I protect myself and protect my feelings, you know. And so it allowed me to be myself and I'm Bear, and just add, you know, with a little, it was fun, man. It's really like pretending. I didn't get a chance as a kid to really pretend much. I wasn't into toys. So now that I have a kid, you know, it was kind of, it's kind of cool to pretend as an adult.
And it was, I wanted to make sure that the Pooh Bear or the bear character was also very mysterious, where he solves problems through the music and he comes with good advice. It's almost like a fable. And my voice, again, to protect myself and the levels of masking of the story, I love Bob Dylan. I know that throughout his career, he's used several voices to sing and actually speak throughout his career.
And rap.
And every night, he really, and if you listen to his Nobel Prize speech, he really is speaking like a blackjack dealer from Kansas City in the 50s. He's like, hey, that's when I was ran away from home when I was a Connie. Like, it's all made up. It's, there's nothing that's real. So it's right, like, right. If you're truly in the 30s, 40s, and 50s with me and Bear, Banjo would be this big liar who's adapting to every environment. He's in, like, Zelig. So I was like, I'm just going to go with that voice I heard him do.
That's the one.
And I said to Dennis, I was very insecure, and I was like, what do you think? He goes, it's perfectly moronic for what it is that Jay Banjo is, which is he's a big liar.
Yeah, and it's perfect. It sounds great.
Yeah, and his voice could change if he was hanging around British people. It might change if he's hanging around Canadians.
Right.
Madonna did that too, right?
Who?
Madonna. She'd come out all
Madonna is British now.
Here we are, you know, cheers.
Blended
my new record is amazing.
I think as people get richer, they become British sometimes.
Yeah, man. I haven't got it yet.
5 years from now, Pooh was like, hello.
Hello, mate.
Yeah.
Hello, mate. Good on ya.
Well, thank you guys so much. Bear and a Banjo, this has been a little special.
I actually have one last question before we wrap. What would you say is the weirdest thing that's happened since you've known me in terms of like the craziest story?
The weirdest thing?
This interview, maybe?
Because I know what it is. I don't know if you remember the weirdest thing that ever happened.
I would probably just say your suit.
That's one of the weirder things.
What would you say?
That place in Atlanta you took me to.
Oh, the Blue Flame.
The Blue Flame.
Yeah. That was a culture shock for you.
That really was. Yeah. I think I walked in and I didn't have enough information to know that I should have been freaked out. Have you ever been to the Blue
Flame? Are there poles involved in the Blue Flame?
I know.
I never know anything that's happened. I'm like kind of like my first day on Earth every day. So I didn't know at the time, but that place was pretty hard. But full circle, much like when I met Pooh Bear, I didn't Google him till the next morning. I didn't Google Blue Flame till the next morning. I was like, Jesus Christ, where did you take me to?
Start Googling.
Because everything that came under the Google was death. Murder.
Yeah, murder. Death, kill you.
Shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really, I found it to be very hospitable. Everyone was really nice to me.
Well, yeah, that
they must have thought I was the head of the cartel.
You were wearing the Bear and Banjo suit?
No, I just walked in like dressed like this.
Yeah, the cowboy hat on for sure.
That was a lot of fun.
The Bear and Banjo suit has pretty much, it deserves a podcast of its own.
Yes, for sure.
If anyone hasn't seen it, go take a look at any of the press kits or any of the stories online. You know,
any visuals, you're
going to
see it.
Google image that. See what Jared commissioned for this band and this show, which, you know, we're all enjoying, and I thank you guys for sitting down with us here. And
thank you.
Talking more.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you.
Blue Flame address for anyone interested in Atlanta is...
Oh, man.
Just Google it.
You'll Google that.
No.
Yeah.
That's a true fictional story.
They're going to sponsor season two.
By the way, don't wear a Yankee hat in there either.
No.
I did that. That's what I was wearing. And someone was like, you better take that off. I'm like, yep. Taking it off.
Oh, no. Taking it off.
All right.
Anyway, Jared, Gootstap, Pooh Bear, continued success, Bear and Banjo. Keep listening. Keep downloading. Tell your friends. Share. Get on social media. Promote it. Make it happen. And get prepared for the final episode, which is going to blow everyone away, especially when you hear what we've been cooking up in the studio. And thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, that was my conversation with Dennis Quaid and Pooh Bear, and I hope that you enjoyed. We greatly appreciate you tuning in and following us on our Bear and a Banjo musical and story journey. You can find all the songs and the music discussed wherever you stream your music under Bear and a Banjo. We're going to play for you two songs that have not come out from the podcast just yet, but these are previews of our collaboration with Bob Dylan. And next week's episode is a very special one because Zach Brown is going to remix one of the songs from the soundtrack and release it as a single. These are a preview of those songs. Thank you again so much. We hope you enjoy.
Gone, but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make us dead. To track my baby down. Two trains running, neither of them going where I have to go. One going to Houston, one going to San Antonio. Yeah, she's gone, but not forgotten. Crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning. Just got up and walked away. Ain't no difference in any of the women I meet. Some live on the first floor, some live right above the street. Some walk in high heels, some others in a stocking feet. Looking out my window while it rained for 3 days straight. Sometimes I wonder how long my baby gonna make me wait. Yeah. Gone, but not forgotten. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crying wouldn't make us dead. She left me early one morning.
You enjoyed this episode, and if you dig the music from our soundtrack, you can stream it anywhere you get music and at the iHeart app. The remix of Can You Hear Me Now features Zach Brown on vocals alongside Bear and a Banjo. This song will be available as a special single from our soundtrack November 8th across all platforms. Oh, and if you dig the series, please share with your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app.
I've got a chauffeur. Pizza take him on a show, yeah. In a hurry, no, we ain't going nowhere. Can you hear me now? Whoa.
don't think that you know everything about your child, because there's something that they're not telling you. If I knew that this was going on, I would have went out there and brought my child back home.
When Africa Hardy died in 2014, it seemed completely random, but it wasn't. It was part of a pattern. This is Algorithm, a podcast investigating a modern serial killer and how he could have been stopped. Listen to Algorithm now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
You know their best-selling albums, sold-out concerts, and iconic music videos. Now, find out the stories behind the songs, behind the stars, and behind the drama with Behind the Music, a new podcast from MTV and iHeartRadio, featuring the stories behind some of the biggest names in music, including 50 Cent, Madonna, AC/DC, and many more. Ready to find out what really happened? Go beyond the headlines and get the story behind the music. Listen to Behind the Music on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.